to make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I honor it today. As this word gives life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Everybody's ready for Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes.
Go Rams, go Patriots. The evil eye will caught me like, wow. Okay. No. The Rams are on our hit list. Because they beat us by other circumstances. Yeah. But that's okay. We forgive them.
We'll get them next year, yeah.
But we forgive them. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. This is a familiar scripture, but it's good to be reminded. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The scripture says that we're not to get weary in doing well, in doing the things of the Lord. But we know that in our Christian walk, that we have the mountaintops where we are spiritually, maybe mountaintops where, you know, God has given us victory, maybe this area that just living, but sometimes also we have the valleys. Now, everybody likes to be on the mountaintops, which is good, and there's nothing wrong with that, and we need the mountaintop experiences, but also we need the valley experiences also. So that we can see where God can do what he needs to do in our hearts and in our lives. So God, we know, is the God that, because we gave him our lives, because we gave him our lives when we got saved, we said, Father, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. You are my God, my Lord, my Savior, and I accept you into my life, and I give you everything that is mine. I give you everything. We're totally his. And in doing that, he receives us unto his own. And he grafts us into the kingdom of God. He takes us, which we're not supposed to be in the kingdom, but he grafts us into the vine. And we become a part of the kingdom of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. That old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But also in that time, as we remember what we've given to him and what we got from him, that we are not to grow weary in doing the things that God has called us to do. And in the future of what God has called us to do. Because we can become weary. We can lose hope sometimes. We can lose the vision sometimes of what God has placed before us. But we're not to lose. There are mountaintop experiences with God, but yet there are valley experiences also. And a lot of times those valley experiences is where we learn the most of our God, how faithful he is to us. And how he strengthens us and helps us to go through the difficult times that we are going through. It helps us to get through. We've all faced those valley times, huh? It's not easy. It's not easy. You know, valley times can be just a loss of a loved one. It's hard sometimes. Loss of a job. Loss of whatever. Things that are happening that are attacking us as a family or as a church. just gone through those valley experiences where it seems that you were outnumbered, surrounded, and were completely and totally helpless sometimes. But he is a God that comes through no matter what. Because he tells us in Galatians 6:9 that we're not to grow weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, the best thing about this is, well, the thing that it's all dependent upon us. We shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap what God wants us to have if we faint not. That we don't give up the hope that God has given unto us. Many times in our lives we find ourselves in the middle of a valley. We are weak, tired, empty, maybe alone. We may even feel so far from the presence or anointing of God at times. But always remember, God is still there. God is still there. God's word says when we call upon him, he hears our voice. He hears us. He hears us. He hears us. That's the kind of God we serve. He's closer than a brother unto us, no matter what we go through. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all three of these guys, they loved their God. They loved Jehovah God. They loved him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they were willing to give it all up for obedience unto him, that they would not bow their knee to another God, that they would not bow their knee to another God and give praise unto something else besides the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just because we didn't know the circumstance, but just because they obeyed, God was in there with them. Let me tell you, when the fire comes, God is with us. When the fire rises up, God is with us. When circumstances seem like it will cave us in, that God is with us. And he will make a way when there seems to be no way. That's the kind of God we serve. That he will make a way. Not that we make a way, but God makes a way of escape for us. Through circumstances, through problems, through those valley experiences, that God makes a way. Because that's the kind of God he is to his children, taking care of them. I want you to know today that God is not only the God of the mountain, but he is also the God of every valley that you and I will face in our life. The Lord is king on the hill, and he's also king in the valley, people.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we serve. He's the king when we're on the hill, but also he's the king when we're on our knees in the valley.
Thank you, Lord.
Saying, Lord, where are you? Father, I don't understand this. Father, it seems like you've forsaken me. But God is still there. God is still there. The devil will try to tell you that you're all alone. That the devil will try to say that God doesn't care about you. My God, we ought to know what the word says. And I know it's hard when you're going through that stuff. When you're going through the valley. But I tell you what, God can come through when it seems like we feel that he can't come through. But he can come through those circumstances. That's the kind of God we serve, people. We can walk through that valley and become a better man or a better woman of God than ever before. We can know him like we've never known him before. That's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, what a God. Can you imagine what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thought when they threw them in? Probably in their natural mind, they said, this is it. As far as on earth. Unless the Lord spoke to them. We don't have all that scenario. We don't know. They thought this is it. But they would wake up in heaven. If you want to put it that way.
Amen.
But they didn't realize. As they threw these three guys in. That the Father was in that furnace already. When the valleys come, people. God is already in the valley with you. Wait. Because he knows he's coming. We know from what the scripture says that nothing, there isn't anything in this world that can come against a child of God that God doesn't allow. He is king over our lives. We know that from Job and other circumstances. He is king, people. So nothing in this world can come against us. I don't care what the devil wants. I don't care what old Lucifer thinks. And what I care about is what God wants and what God thinks. And if he allows something to come against you and I, well, okay, Lord, you will help us do it, Father. Because you are King and you are Lord and you are our God. And you said you will never forsake us. You will be with us in the valley. You will be with us on the hilltops. Because that's the kind of God we serve. That didn't run from us, but ran to the earth. Obeying his Father. And dying upon the cross for us. Not because of his own. Because he needed it. But because we needed it. Oh my God, what a God we serve, people. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Because why? Because he cares for us. You might say, well, how many times do I cast it? Well, how many, when you go fishing, how many times you cast it, the rod reel out there to catch a fish? Not just one time. Unless you catch the biggest fish in all the world. Come in and you leave. But you're going to do it many times. And you're going to just keep catching, hopefully, huh? Put them in that ice chest. Just keep casting that line out. God will supply for us. Just keep casting your cares upon him, and God will meet you where you're at, and he will give you a mission somehow, maybe in the scripture or through a dream or whatever he wants to do. Whatever he wants to do, but God will move upon that situation as we give it to him, because that's the kind of God we serve. Now I want you to turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20 gives us a scenario of an event that happened in scriptures. In chapter 20, the first few scriptures gives us a description of the king, which was King Ben-Hadad of Syria, which was not a godly king. He wasn't king over Judah. He wasn't king over Israel. This was over Syria. But this guy, he liked to drink. You can see it in scripture. He drank it all. They said in scriptures that they had other 32 kings that would come, and they would just get under the pavilion, they called it, that they had, and they would drink alcohol. And you know, every time you drink intoxicated drink, it'll get you in trouble. There's not one single instance in the Word of God that it led you into something good. It always brings trouble. So that's why we preach against drinking that stuff, alcohol of any kind, because it alters your mind and your thinking, and it affects you not in a good way. But this king, as he was drinking with his buddies, 32 other kings, he said, you know, I think I'm gonna go against the king of Israel, Ahab. And he wrote him a letter, basically, and he said, look, guys, telling the king of Israel, I want you to send me all your gold, all your silver, all your wives, all your children. Now, Syria was a vast army. They had hundreds of thousands of men that were in this army. Israel, even though it was God's people, did not have a lot of men in their army. But this guy says, send it to me. I want it. And the king of Israel, Ahab, said, well, you know, maybe. And then he thought about it after a while, and he said, no. And I want to start reading the scripture here. Verse 6 of 20. It says, yet I will send my servants unto you tomorrow. Now this is king of Syria. About this time. And they shall search your house and the houses of your servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in your eyes, they shall put it in their hands and take it away. That means they were going to steal everything. Look, don't put your hands on my TV. You know. Don't put your hands on my car. You know, what other valuable stuff? Don't put your hands on that woman's jewelry there. You know, her necklaces and her rings there. And surely, don't put your hands on those shoes. Stay away from the shoes, because you can have a bullet inside of you. But he has the nerve. And let me tell you, that's old Slewfoot to us too. He'll try to come and steal everything you've got, people. I'm telling you, he hates to see God's people prosper, because we are made in the image of the God that defeated him. Every time he looks at us, because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. He hates us, people. And we, in turn, need to have that kind of hatred towards him, O Lucifer, and his demons and the evil world. We need to hate that. Because they have destroyed families and destroyed men and destroyed women and destroyed children, bringing divorce and evil throughout this world. You want to know who's behind all this stuff in New York about abortion? And Virginia now? That's from the pit of hell, people. That's from the pit of hell. But I tell you what, I'm so glad it came to light. Now the church knows what these people are about. You know, the fruits and nuts always come from California, New York. Both ends of the spectrum. There's a few solid people, but not much. But that abortion thing, that's bad, people. That you can have, they want to even go as far as that lady. It has the baby, and if she doesn't like whatever, deformed or anything, that she can have that baby taken care of. And when I say taken care of, you know what I mean. Yeah. That's murder. Yeah. And the Bible says that one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, not kill, should be murder. Thou shalt not murder, especially the innocent babies or innocent elderly people or anybody. Murder. We're talking about defending yourself. That's totally different. That's from the pit of hell. That's who we fight against. This king of Syria was from the pit of hell, coming against God's people. Now, hey, let me tell you, the children of Israel, they weren't in the best light with their God either. But that was still God's people. Hey, sometimes we're not in the best light with our God either sometimes. But he still calls us his children. He says, devil, don't mess with him or her. Don't mess with them. Those are my children. You have to understand, our God defends us. It's an amazing thing in Scripture where it talks about the angels have to go and give account to the Father. Talking about just angels that are upon the earth that protect us and help us. That they got to go in Matthew and give an account to the Father, which he knows already. But also we know Lucifer, and his deed, Lucifer for sure has to go in and give an account to God as he beckons him. You come now. Let me tell you how much power our God is the boss. You talk about the big boss? He's the big boss over the earth. There's no one like him. No one like him. And let me tell you, we are made in the image of our God. And any time old Lucifer comes against you, he's not only coming against you, but he's coming against all of heaven. He's coming against the Father. He's coming against the Son. He's coming against the Holy Spirit. And he's coming against all the angelic beings in heaven that have stayed with the Father. And let me tell you, he's still stupid, old Lucifer, but he still tries to attack the children of God. He still tries to attack them in all ways, when they're especially in the valley, trying to destroy their lives any way, any possible way that he can. Look at this verse. Verse 7. And then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeks mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children, for my silver and my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that you did send for to your servant, and at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And it says in the latter part of that verse, look at verse 12, and it came to pass when Ben Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings of the pavilion, that he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array, for they set themselves in array against the city. And what they were going to do is attack the children of Israel. People, we got to stand firm on the things that God calls us to stand firm on. But you see, we're going to look at scripture where it says that the king attacked. Here we are. Here we see the children of Israel. Maybe not in the best alignment with God. Maybe not serving him to the best of their ability. But yet still God defended them. God defended them. God still defends us to the best of his ability, as far as we allow him to, for us, to defend us spiritually, to defend us spiritually. That's the kind of God we serve. Even on the mountaintops, he defends us. Even in the valleys of despair, God defends us, because that's the kind of God we serve. He serves, he's serving and helping us to become what he desires and wants us to be. Look at this. Look at verse 15. Now they coming for him. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces. Now look at this. This is the children of Israel. And they were 232 of the young men. Now, and after them he numbered all the ones of the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. That's not a lot, people. It's not a lot. When the other one has thousands upon thousands. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilion, he and the kings, and the 32 kings who helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men out of Samaria. And he said, whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the province, that was from Israel, came out of the city and the army which followed them. And they killed everyone his man, and the Syrians fled. And Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses, the chariots, and killed the Syrians with a great sword. Now look at this. 200 and something that came out of this city. Ben-Hadad was coming after them. They saw them. They started running. We don't know what happened, but let me tell you this. Anytime you're in a fight for your life, you're in the valley of despair, let me tell you, your God is with you. Sometimes we don't know what he's doing, but let me tell you what he's doing. We got to believe it. Say, Lord, you are here on my behalf. And they fled. They fled from the 232 and the 7,000 behind it, but they fled. The king fled. And then the king of Israel came out and smote all the animals that they left, because they ran, just ran. That was the first attack. They were on the hill. But also the king of Syria vowed that he would come against the children of Israel again. And he said, let me tell you this. He's talking to all his kings. Look, we're going to come against the children of Israel again. But this time, it's going to be in the valley. Because their God might be the God of the hill, but he's not the God of the valley or the plain. And we know this, that our God is the God of the hillside, and he's the God of the valley. He's the God of the mountain, no matter what. No matter where we are in our lives with God. He's our King, our Lord, our God. He goes before us and fights for us. And we know that he wins every time. Because he is God and King and Lord and Savior of the world. Look at this. God always sends help to his people. Look. Verse 22. And the prophet, they never name who he is. They never say who the prophet is. Came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen yourself. Mark and see what you do. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. Look, isn't that like our God, people? The children of Israel had already been attacked. the children of Israel defeated them because of God. They ran. And the children of Israel, the king, slaughtered all their horses and everything. And the prophet comes, doesn't say who it is, that said, comes to the king and says, look, I'm going to tell you, the Lord spoke to me and said, in 1 year, the king of Syria is coming back for you. Prepare yourself. See, that's the kind of God we serve, that will prepare God's people for an attack from the enemy. He prepares God's people. But this time they're planning, and he tells them, they're coming when you're in the valley. Because they say, he's not the God of the valley. He's only the God of the hill. And you know different. Look at this. And the servants of the king of Israel said unto him, their gods are the gods of the hills, therefore they were strong, stronger than they were. But let us fight against them in the plain or in the valley, and surely we shall be stronger than they. Look, that's old stupid Deb. He is so stupid. He's been defeated 2,000. He was defeated when he tried to raise himself above God, and God threw him down from the heavens unto the earth. And there's a whole lot of other stuff in that. He was defeated then. He was defeated by God, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary for all of humanity, people. My God, that's twice that our God, defeated him. There's many times in the Old Testament where God used a man anointed by the power of God to defeat the attacks of the enemy. That's God doing the mighty work. And I tell you this, I know God is working in your life and in my life, and God has given us tactics, and God has shown us things on how to defeat the enemy through the word of God, through prayer, through the trust in the cross of Calvary and what Christ did at Calvary's cross. See, the only thing the devil has for him with the child of God is that he is a defeated foe. The only thing that the child of God has is victory all the time. Ooh. Wow, can you imagine that? Can you imagine every time the enemy comes after you, because of the cross of Calvary, you have victory? You might say, well, Pastor, I failed a few times. That's all right. When you got on your knees, you got victory. And you asked for forgiveness. That's victory, people. That's victory. God raising you up to a higher standard. Look at verse 24. And do this thing. Take the kings away and every man out of his place. Put captains in their rooms. And the number you in army, like the army that you have lost, horses for horse, horse for horse, chariots for chariots, and we'll fight against them in the plain. And surely we shall be stronger than they, and we hearken unto their voice against them. Now look at this. Look at verse 28. My God. And there came a man of God and spoke unto the king of Israel. They think it's probably that same prophet, but they don't say who it is. And said, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Look, how much clearer can you get? Do you think this king was bold at this time? Knowing the prophet showed him in a year that the Syrians would be coming back. Then the prophet goes to him again. They think it's the same man. And says, look, they think God is only the God of the hills, but not the valley. But God says he will deliver them into your hands. You will defeat them. Don't look at the multitude of people out there. Don't look at that. Look at what God can do. Look at the holiness of our God and how God can defeat the enemy and tear down the walls of evil. How God, as we pray and seek the face of God, the anointing of God can come into a place and change a heart forever, change a people forever, change a family forever, change a husband forever, change a wife forever, change children forever, under the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost because of what God has done or Jesus did on Calvary's cross. The power of Almighty God. Look at this. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day that the battle was joined, and the children of Israel killed of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. It almost kind of sounds like Goliath, almost. There's two mountains, on the hilltops. One's the children of Israel, and one is the children or the army of the Syrians. And for 7 days, they just stayed there. Now, the scripture doesn't give us any more evidence of what happened for those 7 days. But for 1 week, can you imagine? One's on one side, one's on the other side. The Syrians are thinking, we got them now. Their God, and they mentioned it, their God is the God of the hills, but their God is not the God of the valley. But they hadn't realized that the children of Israel, for the most part, were serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, old Snoopfoot still thinks he can defeat the children of God. He still thinks he can defeat you. He still thinks he has victory over you. He still thinks there's some kind of avenue that he can win. He still thinks that. How stupid is he? After he was defeated 2,000 years ago, and he will be defeated again and years from now, probably, yeah, years from now. Defeated again. The power of Almighty God. And then here they are for 7 days. Do they say anything? He doesn't say. I don't know. But on that seventh day, it says they joined together. And the only joining there was in the valley. And we know the king of Israel knew what the prophet had told him. And victory was already in the people. Our God has given us victory in all valleys. Those things that hinder you from serving God to the best of your ability, God can break those things as you put your faith and trust in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. He will give you the power to overcome those things. To overcome those bondages in your heart and in my heart and in your life and in my life. He will give us the power in those valleys to defeat the enemy where the enemy thinks he will destroy you and I. And they came in and it said, it doesn't say, it went just, and the children of Israel killed of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. Now, we're going to get to the next verse. It doesn't say that any of the children of Israel died. Don't you think God would have put that in there? I'm thinking he would. You know, God put some things in the Bible, even about David, that we don't really like, but he put them in there. You know, are some things that we don't like, but he still put them in. But can you imagine in 1 day, they came to the valley, and the children of Israel with 7,000, plus 200 and whatever, 32, killed 100,000 footmen. Look, it must have been blood flying everywhere. Slinging of that sword and blood flying all over in a valley. Then it says, look at verse 30, look at this. But the rest fled to Aphek, whatever, into the city, and there was a wall fell upon 20 and 7,000 of men who were left. Men hadn't fled and came into the city and into an inner chamber. Here we see 100,000 dies quickly. 20-something thousand flee to a nearby city. They think in the scripture that they might be sitting on the wall or next to the wall. And somehow, just somehow, the wall falls and kills another 20-something thousand. Look, we are assured victory every time we put everything in the hands of God. That's not 50%, not 75%, not 80%, but 100% victory every time we put everything in the hands of God. And we listen to what he says to do, we are assured victory. See, the Syrian army and the king thought, we have the children of Israel, they will die. And the children of Israel, because of their God, went before them and killed 100,000 and then 27,000 at the wall. Talk about the wall. At the wall. Either fell on them somehow, God brought an earthquake, did something, we don't know, however God wants to do it. If he can stomp a wall into the ground, he can make one fall like a Jericho. See, that's the kind of God we serve, people. That's the kind of God we serve. He's the God that can do all things, people. He's the God of the hill, and he's the God of the valley. God is your God, even through trials, people. I know everybody goes through things, but always remember, he is your God. And even in the midst of trials, he's there with you. He walks beside you. Walks beside you. My God. Your God walks beside you. I'd say, well, how can you do that? Well, how can you be in every church by his Spirit all over the world on a Sunday morning or Saturday, wherever, when everybody's meeting? God is with us no matter what. Through every trial, through all the weeping that we do and crying over things, God is with us. We call the valley of Baraka. B-A-C-A, whatever, the valley of trouble, valley of weeping. God is still with us, no matter what. It says in Scripture that God cares about everything in our lives, people. What a God you serve. You may be on the high end of the mountain, you know, because God has given you great victory already in the valley. You're at the mountain. Oh, I tell you, God will show you all kinds of things. There's victory. You might say, Pastor, right now I'm in the valley. That's okay, because there's hilltops and valleys throughout our lives, people. Those things happen. Even in the valley, God shows himself that he's God. Even with the children of Israel, he showed the Syrian army. My children will win on the hilltop, and they'll win in the valley. See, no matter what goes on, no matter what comes our way, we can trust in him. As the scripture says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make what? Our path is straight. We make it crooked sometimes, and God will come in and make it straight again. It's okay. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your finances. Trust him with your children. Trust him. God bless you. You may stay in, please. Praise and honor, Lord. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted him? If you have not and you'd like to do so, would you please raise your hand? Just check that. I want to ask you another important question. Maybe one day, many years past, you've accepted him. But you're saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life to him from this day forward. I need to renew my commitment to my King, my Lord, my Savior, my God. If you'd like to do that today, would you please raise your hand? I see your hand back there. Thank you. I see your hand up here. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand back there. Thank you. Amen. Let's all pray together, because we have some people that raise their hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I rededicate my life, my heart, my soul unto you. Lead me and guide me. I ask for your forgiveness. Be with me and help me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, guys, I appreciate you, Joanne and I. We thank God for you, and we love you. Andrew, why don't you come up and close us in prayer? I pray you, everyone has a great week. Don't forget, Bible study is Wednesday, the little building at 7 o'clock, okay? And then God bless you. We love you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift you up, Father God.
Yeah.
We ask you, Father God, that even though we have faith in you, help our unbelief, Father God. Father God, we struggle, we have problems, Father God, but bring us through, Father God, because you have spoken things to us, Father God. Allow us to keep moving forward, Father God. Help us in our week, Father God. Help us to witness to the people, Father God. And we ask you these things in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.